Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Hour 3 of this Monday edition of the Cook and Joe Show. Starkey is off this week, but Bob Pompiani alongside, at least alongside figuratively, as we do the radio show today. And Bob, what is it up with Rondo and these injuries with his right hand? By my calculations, that is his third surgery on his right hand in the last 2 years. What's up with that?
I don't know, other than he continues to have the same problem and it wasn't fixed maybe properly the first time.
No, it's all different fingers. It's a ring finger, yeah, it's a thumb, and it's an index finger.
But it's always in the hand area, which means there's something must be going on there, unless he's favoring one and then you hurt the other. I don't know, but... You know, it's too bad. You know, that's a guy who, when he was at the top of his game with the Celtics, was really good at distributing the basketball and was a guy who was, you know, arguably considered one of the best at his position in the game.
So what does his absence do to the Lakers' chances? Because LeBron seems to be all business, and a lot of people seem to be betting on LeBron, especially when he's all business.
He is. He and Anthony Davis, 1-2 punch. When you only have five guys who are starters and two of them are those guys, you have a pretty good opportunity. It limits their bench. It means if there are foul difficulties, it could hurt them. But I think largely the Lakers are still the best team in the Western Conference. Although, if you look deeper into it, I think there are teams that can give them a little bit of a push. As I said before, I don't think New Orleans is a team you should overlook. They're young. They're hungry. They have superstar capabilities on their team with Zion Williamson. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see if we get a chance to see it and if everything in that bubble holds tight, which you never know how things are going to go. But I still think Milwaukee's the team to beat. I like their team. I think Antetokounmpo was having a great year, would have been MVP, still might be MVP, but that team is the team that's going to end up winning it all if everything stays the same.
Boy, Florida's crazy. I don't know how I feel about being down there right now. 15,300 new cases yesterday. I know you're trying to do everything as safe as possible, but again, are these NBA players, can you count on them to follow protocol for 3 or 4 months, Bob?
Yeah, I don't know. It's an individual choice, Ron. I mean, everyone has to make it. And, you know, the NHL has, I've read a lot about what they're planning to do, and it seems to be pretty extensive that they're going to, you know, just really take over a 40-acre spot. There are some nice resorts in there. They can actually facilitate golf on a day off as long as you're, you know, socially distant, whatever the case. Beyond that, it's up to the individual. So, again, I'm gonna give it an opportunity to see how it plays out, but I think the NBA has to watch in the fact that they're down in Orlando, which is an area unlike what you see in Toronto and Edmonton at this point. Although that changed too at the very beginning of this process, Florida and Arizona were looked at, weren't they, in baseball terms as two hub cities for baseball, and then both of those changed dramatically, as did Vegas. Vegas was the team, or the city, I should say, that was looked at as absolutely one of the hub cities for hockey will be Vegas. Then everything around them got worse, they got worse, and here they are.
Well, let's switch up, talk a little football here. We're about 2 weeks away from the start of training camp. No Latrobe this year for the Steelers. They'll be doing most of their work at Heinz Field, although some work on their south side facility. Big meeting today scheduled between the NFLPA and the owners, trying to work out some details on a return to play. And, man, I see a couple big ones right out of the box. First of all, the players don't want any exhibition games. They don't want to risk their health in exhibition games. The owners want two. Obviously, that's two more, paychecks for them television-wise, I guess, although probably not nearly as much as the games. I was going to say two turnstile games, too, but won't be any fans there. But They want two. The players want none. And the players want tested every day. And the owners don't want to test every day. They want it maybe every other day. So those are some pretty significant issues, Bob, I think they have to work out.
Yeah, I think the I think it is important to do some preseason. That's just me. And there is television money involved in this. And again, as we've said before, specific to college or anyone else, money is a big part of what's going on here. So just to get idea what it's going to be like, you know, baseball, the Pirates have set up three exhibition games with the Cleveland Indians, one in Cleveland, two in PNC Park. But again, if you're going to do it, you do it, and you just take your chances and do the best you can to secure the area and what you can control. But I think it would be hard because now these same players, Ron, don't want any sort of 11-on-11 contact practice. They've already eliminated most hitting during the weeks. That's happened over the last several years. How would you feel confident of your team going into the first game of the year, and how sloppy will the games be played early in the year if you have absolutely no opportunity to play somebody else with hardly any tackling? How do you just jumpstart right into a season where you're going to go full throttle after having no throttle?
I don't know. That, again, football, college football is the one I think has the toughest road to come back, and then I would put the NFL second, but the NFL also has more 15 billion reasons to want to come back, and they're going to do everything they can. I do see, I read in Pro Football Talk that the sides have agreed on what happens if a player tests positive, Bob. I wasn't aware of that until I just read this yesterday. If a player is asymptomatic, he's going to be quarantined for at least 5 days, and he must generate two negative tests before coming back. Symptomatic players must be quarantined for 10 days with two negative tests to come back. And players who actually become ill, they may be off the field even longer before being cleared because you don't want to spread the virus. Now, the Boston Globe has estimated, based on number crunching, the positive test rate in other sports is about 2 to 5% when players report for duty. And out of roughly 4,500 NFL players, coaches, and staff, the Globe reports that range will probably be 90 to 225 positives. And I guess the number one thing is to identify them quickly and keep them away from everyone else, Bob.
Yeah, that's generally how it works. And if you do that, and if everyone's honest with one another, and again, that's where the individual responsibility comes into play, you have to tell people. You know, athletes are prone to want to play through just about everything, Ron. We've seen that. And so sometimes you may not feel so great, or you think maybe, and you don't speak up. That could be more of a problem as well. I think that's just the nature of the beast when it comes to athletics. People want to play. They don't want to sit on the sidelines if they feel they can overcome it. So does this still apply to something like a virus? And if so, how much hurt, how much damage will you put forward if you don't reveal what's really happening inside your own body?
Yeah, it's such a complicated issue here. And you're right, athletes, you know, they're going to try to play through anything. I think a lot of guys have concussions and don't tell anyone because they're afraid of losing their job, afraid of losing their livelihoods, you know. So they're going to do whatever it has to be to stay on the field. But, again, I saw the New York Giants. It's an offensive tackle, and his name, he's their player rep, saying, hey, if they can't make this safe for us, we're not going to play. Wasn't a threat as much as it was a prediction, it seemed like. So there's still some work to be done before these training camps open in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but no matter what they do, and they'll do everything possible, players should know that they're going to be in as good a place as they can be. But what does it matter given the nature of the sport? Well, you're playing a game that involves face-to-face, head-to-head, body-to-body contact, piles of players, Ron, so that if you're social distancing in your locker room, if you're doing all of that stuff, that's fine. You don't have shirt swaps at the end, jersey swaps at the end now. You're not allowed that. No coaches' handshakes. That's all fine. But you're in the middle of all this. You're playing a contact sport, which requires body-to-body contact. I mean, face-to-face, in the trenches, You know, I can't think of a worse place to be when you're trying to stop a spread of a virus. Can you?
No. That's why I have a hard time believing. I know a good friend of mine, John McClain in Houston, talked about, he said, there is no way they should open up training camp in 2 weeks. He said, you got to push it back until you get a little better grip on what's happening. But I don't know, even if you push it back a month, is that going to be enough time?
No, I don't know. Again, but I think they're going to try, and we'll see how it goes. And I just hope it happens, because I think it's necessary right now for everyone to have something else to think about and to talk about other than what we've been talking about for the last 4 months. So it's going to be out there. You have to try to play through it. I think everyone who has a regular job and goes to work every day has to do the same thing, only you're not as protected as those who have the best medical care in hub cities where they're trying to make sure everything is safe for you. We don't have that. Most people don't go to that. You have to go out there and do what you got to do, but it's upon you to be responsible. I'm going to be interested to see also, speaking of football, this Bud Dupree situation, Ron, because they have until, what is it, Wednesday to decide a long-term deal, or else they
Bob,
can't
I'm going to interrupt you and tell you to hold that thought, because that's on my list to talk about next.
Okay.
We got to take a quick break. I wrote about that in PostGazette.com today. We'll talk about that coming up next. Thank you for finding us. It's the Cook and Joe Show, minus Starkey for the week, but with Bob Pompeiani today. That's a trade-off I'll make any day, Bob. How about that? Don't tell Starkey I said that, though, okay?
Well, I just took a bite of food, Ron. I'm sorry.
I'll see. There you go. I knew I couldn't go a whole
I thought
show.
You were going to the break. You're supposed to go to the break. What are you doing?
We'll be right back.